Wherefore should the nations say, where is your God? Is he dead? Is he sleeping? Is he occupied? Why should the nations say, where is our God? But verse 3, but our God is in the heavens, and he has done whatsoever he pleases.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today for the conclusion of The Life of God and the God of Life. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of The Life of God and the God of Life.
Living God. Not all these other guys that were coming along during that time, worshiping Baal and worshiping Molech and worshiping Dagon and worshiping the God of the fire. All those gods were dead gods. And so Peter had to distinguish the fact that all these other gods that people serve, they're dead gods. Now, I'm going to say something, and I know when it goes over the airways that there may be some people that are offended, but Muhammad was a dead prophet. Allah is a dead god. All right, Buddha is a dead god. Only we have the living God. Only we have the God who is the God of life, the God that only has life, but the God that gives life. You don't have to turn there, but 1 Thessalonians 1:9 talks about how that people had turned from idols to serve the living and true God. But I do want to go to 1 Timothy chapter 3, because I believe there's a word in 1 Timothy chapter 3 for us. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. And Paul says here, now this is the church. Now he's speaking to the church, all right? In 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, he said, go back up, verse 15. But if I tarry long, that thou may knowest that thou oughtest be, how thou oughtest behave thyself in the house of God. Oh, man, we can stop. Let's stop right there. How I ought to behave myself in the house of God. That if I am a member of the redeemed, if I am a member of the household of the saints, if I am a member of the body of Christ, he's speaking to me at this point. How I ought to behave myself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God. Now, why does he keep bringing this out? Because there's a whole lot of churches where their God is dead. And saints, you are in the church that we serve, the living God. You know, our God is not out there somewhere not feeling what we feel, not hearing what we say, not seeing what's going on, that we have a living God. But before I get to the good stuff of what I want to say today, let me just take one more stop, and that is in Psalm 115. Let me just stop in Psalm 115 for a moment, and let's look at verses 3. Through 9. Psalm 115, verses 3 through 9. Actually, let's go back and look at verse 1. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory, for thy mercy and thy truth's sake. Wherefore should the nations say, where is your God? Is he dead? Is he sleeping? Is he occupied? Why should the nations say, where is our God? But verse 3, but our God is in the heavens, and he has done whatsoever he pleases. Our God is in the heavens, and he does whatever he wants to do. He said, but their gods are idols of silver and gold. And look at this, and the work of men's hands. How many hundreds of thousands of gods are in the world that have been shaped by a man's hand? Little short fat men, people worship. Calves made out of gold, people worship. These are all gods shaped by the hands of men. But he goes on to say, look at some characteristics of the living God, contrasted with, now think, All these other gods are dead gods. Now, I know somebody will say that, well, you know, Pastor Glaze, you're being kind of narrow-minded this morning. You are kind of narrowing things down when you're saying there's only one true and living God. I'm just saying what the book says. Now, if you want to believe something else, that's up to you. I shared with y'all a couple of weeks ago how that 47% of Christians, born-again Christians, believe that there's another way to heaven other than Jesus Christ. So, I mean, you know, the fact that that's a fact in the body, that says that there are probably, I don't know what the percentage is, I'm sure Barna or somebody has taken a survey of this, but I wonder how many Christians would say there's other gods than the God in the Bible. So now, again, it's probably out there, but I'm going to go with the book says. It says that there's only one living God. And that's the God that I'm going to stick with, and that's the God that I'm going to worship, that one true and living God. It says here, their gods have mouths, but they don't speak. They have eyes, but they can't see. They have ears, but they can't hear. They have noses, but they can't smell. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not, neither speak through their throat. They who make them are like unto them. So is everybody that trusts in them. That's pretty bad analogy right there. I mean, that's pretty bad. You know, not only are the ones that make them like them, but they also trust in them. How many people here want a God that you can make and then worship? That's ridiculous. I don't want a God that I can shape and I can mold, and then I'm going to bow down and worship? No, sir, buddy. I need a God, as I said before. I don't know about you. I need a God that I can't understand. And you know what? That's, man, let me tell you something. That's what's so beautiful about the Trinity. That the Trinity makes no sense at all. It makes no sense. How in the world can you have one God and three persons? That makes absolutely no sense. But I guess if I could understand it, then I would be God. Now you're going to say, well, where you get that from? Well, the Bible says over and over again, there's only one God. It says in Deuteronomy 6:4, 1 Timothy 1:17, other passages throughout the Bible, it says there's only one God. But then he comes back and say that in Jesus dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. We read in another place, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the very form of God, found it not robbery to be equal with God. We read of the Holy Spirit when Ananias and Sapphira lied about selling the possessions that they sold, and God stroke them dead, that Peter told them that the Spirit, you have lied to the Spirit. And he said, you haven't lied to men, but you've lied to God. Wait a minute. Father is God, Son is God, Spirit is God, and there's only one God? If I could understand it, then I would be God. Then I would be God. Thank God that, you know, as I said during the prayer time, there are things that we accept by faith. Now, this is what the book said. Where do you get that? I get it from the book. I didn't make up the Trinity. If I'd have made up the Trinity, you know, I'd have maybe sat down and made a statue like Mount Rushmore, right? One head for the Father, one head for the Son, and one head for the Holy Ghost. And then I would have did what? I didn't make it up. I just accepted by faith. And then he goes on to say in verse 9, O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Trust in the Lord. But let me go to the point that I wanted to come to. Let me conclude everything. And this is the powerful point. This is what is so powerful, that the God of the universe, this eternal God would share his life with us. Man, that God would share his life with us. I've said this before on other occasions, but I want to go into maybe just a little bit more detail this morning, and to say that there are, and you ought to remember this. You ought to remember this. This ought to be in your mind. There are certain things that I say ought to stick with your mind. This ought to stick in your mind. There are three types of life. Three types of life as we look at in the Bible. There is bios, there is zoe, and there is, I put up here eternal life, but it is iones. It's in your notes. Iones. Three types of life. The first type of life we find in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7. This is bios life. This is the life that every human being has, that every person alive has bios life, or they wouldn't be alive. This is the life that God breathed into Adam. You remember God created Adam out of the dust of the earth, and there was Adam lying there, a big lump of clay. And what did God do? God kneeled down and God went, and when he did that, Adam came to life. He came to life. That's bios life. That's the life that you have. And when that life leaves you, that means that you are no longer alive. In the last several weeks, I have either preached or gone to several funerals. And those individuals that have died, what happened? The bios left them. The human life, the breath of life was taken from them. And so we thank God this morning because he is the God of life, and that he is the God who gives us bios life. He gives us the life to be able to live and move and have our being. But the second kind of life is called zoe life. And I want to look at these scriptures. Like I said, I want to do teaching this morning. This choir almost got me up here preaching. I want to do teaching this morning. This zoe life. First of all, this zoe life is imparted when you get saved. Look at 1 John chapter 5. That when you get saved, you receive zoe life. 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 and 12. And this is the record. Now, this zoe life is spiritual life. This is, now, see, bios life is the breath of God. Zoe life is the spiritual life of God. This is the spiritual life. So it's different than bios. Because here God gives us spiritual life. Now let me go back for a second. In the garden, Adam and God communicated one-on-one. And when Adam sinned, what happened? He ran away. That he died. What did he lose? He lost his spiritual life. He still had, God said, in the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. Did Adam kill over and die? No, he kept living. He still had bios life. But he had lost what? He had lost zoe life. Whew, that's good teaching. I think I'm going to buy this CD, man. I didn't know I was going to say that, Bill. Well, I'm glad that you did. He lost his zoe life. And in 1 John chapter 5, he says, and this is the record that God hath given to us eternal zoe. That's the word there. That's the Greek word. And this zoe is in his son. He that hath the son hath what kind of life? Zoe. He that hath the son hath zoe, and he that hath not the son hath not zoe. So that's kind of pretty cut and dry right there. If you have the son, you have spiritual life. If you don't have the son, you don't have spiritual life. Why did Jesus come? Well, he came to die on the cross. We know that. We sang about that this morning. We celebrated communion this morning. But why did Jesus come? John 10, the Gospel of John, chapter 10 and verse 10. Why did Jesus come? He says in verse 10, The thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have what? Zoe. Life. Yeah, you're right. Life. But what kind of life? Zoe life. Go back and look in your Strong's Concordance and look up that word life. Zoe. Jesus came that we might have Zoe life. That we might have abundant life. That when I was in the world, I had a lot of fun. I had a whole lot of fun. I shared my testimony. I memorized all Richard Pryor's albums. I memorized Rudy Ray Moore, Dolomite, the Signifying Monkey. I memorized all that stuff. And we would go and we would sit and I would just quote it. And man, we would sit there and we would just have fun. That's dead life. That's dead life. Now I get with the saints, and get with other people. I have joy. Jesus said, I've come not that you would have fun. The world has fun. I have come that you might have life, joy. You know, there was a time when I would go to sleep at night. I sleep, all right? The world sleeps, right? Everybody, every night. Now, some people might have problems sleeping, but the world sleeps. Jesus said, I didn't come that you might have sleep. I came that you can have peace. see, this is Zoe life. Joy, peace, agape love. You can't do that stuff on your own. You can have fun. You can do all these other things that the world does. But only with Zoe life can you do the things that bring joy and peace. And Jesus said, this is why I've come. I've come that you might have Zoe and that you might have it more abundantly. This life equips the child of God to be able to live. Somebody say, I can't live. I know I used to make all kind of New Year's resolutions that I was going to stop doing this, stop doing that, and I would stop for a couple days and I'd be right back to the same old thing. When I gave my heart to Christ, there were some things that I struggled with at first, but eventually I was able to overcome them. And why could I overcome them? Because I got this Zoe in me. Look at 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. 2 Peter chapter 3, or excuse me, chapter 1 and verse 3. 2 Peter chapter 1. And verse 3, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to, we got that word life again. Guess what word it is? Zoe. He has given us everything that we need that pertains to Zoe and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. That God has given us everything that we need to live a successful Christian life. That if you are not living a successful Christian life, a victorious Christian life, it's not God's fault. God said, what more can I do? I gave you my son, and I gave you Zoe. What more? I don't know. I can't figure this out, right? I gave you my son, and I gave you Zoe. Got everything you need. See, and then we want more. You know, people tell you that you got to name it, claim it, blab it, and grab it. They tell you that, you know, you got to do all this other kind of stuff on top of that. You got to go here and do this and tarry here and do that. God said, no. When you got saved, I gave you Zoe. I gave it to you. And you have everything that you need. Now, here goes a sad thing. Here goes a sad thing. Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, this is a sad thing. Ephesians 4, in verse 18, he says here, talking about the unbeliever, he says, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the, oh my goodness, from what? unbelievers are alienated from the Zoe of God, that they don't have it. You got it. You got it. But they don't have it. And that's sad. And that's why, you know, every child of God, man, should have a burden for the lost. Not only that they would get their soul saved and have eternal life, but they would have abundant life, that they would have a Zoe life now. Man, that people just don't know what they're missing. He said that the unbeliever has been alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their hearts. That's a powerful passage right there. Man, when we look at unsaved, our hearts ought to weep. Because when we look at them, we ought to, sometimes we can be critical and we can be judgmental and we can be hard. But the fact of the matter is that they don't have Zoe life. That's why they do what they do. We shouldn't be surprised when sinners sin. That's what they're supposed to do. Because they don't have Zoe. But we should be surprised when you sin. Because you got Zoe. And we thank God that if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Christ Jesus, the righteous. So we have this Zoe life. And then let me wrap up with this last life. And we see this life found in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have aionios. Aionios. Let me spell that. It's in your notes, but A-I-O-N-I-O-S. Aionios. That means eternal. Age upon age upon age. Forever. So this good God that we serve, he not only gives us bios life, he not only gives us Zoe life, but he gives us eternal life. And that when do I get eternal life? The moment that I receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I get eternal life. Somebody said, well, you get eternal life when you die. No, 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 no. We just read the verse. It said, half, present tense, eternal life. See, I don't fool around with these folks that, you know, talk about, you know, me being saved one day and not saved the next day. I got a God that can keep me saved. And I realize that my salvation is not dependent on me. Because if it was, then I might have one of these one day on and one day off salvations. But my salvation is not dependent on me. It's dependent on God. And let me see. I didn't even have this verse. Let me see. I think it's 1 Peter. If you'll turn there real quick, it might be 1 Peter or 2 Peter. It's 2 Peter. All right, and it says that. I didn't have this verse looked up. I should have looked it up before I came. But it says that we are kept. I was looking for it. I'm rushing right now, but I think it's 1 Peter chapter 1, or 2 Peter chapter 1, where it talks about we are kept by the power of God. Oh, I know, here it is. Excuse me. 1 Peter. I knew I'd find it. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5. It says here, who are kept by the power of God. Verse 4, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. That it's you already have it, and you are kept by the power of God. You're not kept by your own power. You are kept by God's power, God's life. And so what does it mean when it says that God is life and that God is the source of all life? Well, for us, it means bios. It means Zoe, and it means aionios, eternal. What a great God.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of When You Care Enough to Serve the Very Best. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, The Life of God and the God of Life, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request The Life of God and the God of Life. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request The Life of God and the God of Life. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 7 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.